Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in central Watford. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
So, we've been journeying in Isaiah. Is that right? Who's been reading Isaiah? So we started with Isaiah 51. And we're now getting today in Isaiah 55. So I want to share with you the setting, the context, where you should hear Isaiah 55 in. So in Isaiah 51, you had those words about listen, wake up, arise, and give ear, hear, you know, all of that stuff. And the reason God was saying that, because he was talking to his people and they were in exile. Okay, they were in a place that is not really that great for them. They are away from their land, away from their houses, away from the hope and the calling that God has for them. Yeah, they are under an oppressor. They are not really having it nice and easy. And it's really terrible. And they've been there for years. So, in short, they're thinking, this is how it is. And it will keep going like that. And this is a great nation, a great power, and there is no running away from them. And even if someone else would win against them, they would take over, they would be stronger. So guess what? For us, basically, it sucks. We're stuck. So we'll just try and do the best out of it here. And God is reaching out to them and say, well, you're looking at the wrong thing. Listen to me. You think you're stuck. You think you're overpowered. You think that that's it. Just look at me. Look at who I am. I'm your maker. I'm God. Do you think your oppressor is more powerful? I'm the Lord who led your father when he couldn't do anything, when he couldn't get children, and I gave him children, and you're the proof. He didn't have a land, I gave him a land, and you're the proof. You were in that land. And yes, you are here because you messed up. And I know you're still the same. But I want you to know what I have for you, and that there is a word, a judgment that proceeded already from me to save you, to get you out of here, to get you out of where you're stuck, to get you out of your weaknesses, and to get you out of your sins. And that's chapter 51 and 52. And then comes the big question, how? As you said, we're the same. Our weaknesses are exactly the same. Are we following your word? We're trying to make it harder now on ourselves. But guess what? We're married from other nations. And we're doing things that we shouldn't do. You see? That's all what we see as well in Ezra and Nehemiah books. Yeah? And God is saying, okay, here is the way out, my servant. And you get to chapter 53. Which, by the way, amazingly, chapter 53, when you look at Isaiah as a whole, 66 chapters, like the 66 books of the Bible, and then you get from the last 27 are exactly like the New Testament books, and then the middle verse of the middle section of the middle chapter of everything is in chapter 53. And it speaks about Jesus, the whole chapter. And it says, he's been bruised for our iniquities. He carries our sins, and he will deal with it all. Chapter 53, God is saying, my solution for you is my servant. My servant will act on your behalf, will carry your problems, and will turn you to be righteous people. Because he will pay for your sins, he will take your punishment. He will heal your sickness. That's my solution. And then he comes to chapter 54 and he's saying this. This is why, though you've been left as a woman without a husband, with no children, no hope, no protector, no fruitfulness, nothing, no one to provide for you, and you are in a tent, you're not even in a house, I'll tell you what, enlarge your tent. What for? I'm living on my own. You know, a studio flat is enough. Enlarge your tent. I don't have money. This is why I am in a tent. If I had money, I would have been in a house, you see. Enlarge your tent and stretch it and make it bigger, because you will have a husband. You will not be lonely. You will not be on your own. The intimacy that you really need is coming, and the fruitfulness is coming, and you will have children, and you will not be desolate. You will not be stood, no one would stood you up. You would not be left behind. You would not be forgotten. You will be joyous. You will be fruitful, and you will have life. And that's chapter 54. And we're coming to chapter 55, and the whole chapter is full, and I cannot really do it justice, so I'll focus on two words from the chapter. I'll brush over the rest of the chapter, if you would forgive me. Yeah. And I'll read with you the first two verses from the ESV. And it says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food." I wonder if you can stand to your feet. Just open your hands and open your hearts. Direct your hearts towards God. And say, "Lord, help me to come. Help me to come with an open heart. Help me to move from whatever I'm stuck in or I'm settled in. And open my eyes to see your beauty and your love for me." Amen. So, I don't know about you, but the word "come" doesn't always help me. Most probably because when I was young, and yeah, I was at a certain time young, when my mother would say "come," it wasn't really the best thing, because I usually have messed up somehow, and Mom discovered that. And she's saying, "Magdi, come." And I know that I shouldn't, you know. And I started developing this selective deafness at that time, and selective hearing as well. And I wouldn't go. I can pretend, of course, that I'm asleep, or that, you know, I'm playing hide and seek on my own, you know, anything. As well, when I was at school and the teacher is saying "come," I'm kind of wondering, you know, like, am I ready for whatever question he's going to ask or she's going to ask? Am I going to make a fool of myself? Maybe I shouldn't go. And I remember very clearly, I think I was in year 3 or 2, and the teacher is saying, come. I said, no, I'm all right. I'm all right here. And he looked like, that wasn't, you know, negotiable, like, come. Well, anyway. And God is saying, come. Come. I don't know how you feel about his call. Come. But I want to focus with you on this thing. You know, God came in the garden to Adam. And he called him. Hey, Adam, come. Where are you? I don't think because God couldn't really see or know where Adam was. I think he was trying to draw his attention. Adam, where are you? What has got you stuck, mate? Why are you hiding? Why are you afraid? And let me tell you, still come. Because you know those fig leaves, and you've done a great job, but they don't cover much. And they don't change your nakedness. And they don't give you salvation. I'll tell you what, come. And here's how God is calling him. He's calling him to make a sacrifice on his behalf. And save him and cover him and give him dignity and show him a way and give him a promise that one day the servant will come and will deal with your iniquities and will deal with your future, and you will not be alone anymore, and you will not be desolate, and you will not be without children and without husband. This is how he's saying, come. And Jesus died, appeared to the disciples, and we would think, I always thought like that, like, you know, the disciples now are meeting the risen Lord. They're getting those explanations. He's opening their minds to understand the books, the Bible, all of that. They would definitely be absolutely, like, totally transformed, and nothing will stand in their way, and they will not depend on their needs and stuff. They will go after God. And here is what happened. They were hungry, and Peter said, I'll go fishing. Yeah. So they all said, they heard the sound of their tummies, and we're coming with you. And they went fishing. And you think Jesus would say, I'll wait until they fail and come to me. I'll wait until they learn. Then they will look for me and come. I would have done that. Here is what Jesus did. He went forth. He looked for them, found them, and said, hey, mate, do you have any food? Said, we spent all night fishing and nothing. Sorry. So, just throw your nets on the wrong side. You'll catch. You'll catch food. And they did. And they caught 153 fish. That's a lot. And they all knew this is Jesus. He comes to us even when we've not paid attention to him, even when we got stuck and got led astray with our needs. Normal needs, no sin in being hungry. And he still came, found us, gave us what we're looking for, and in a way kind of saying this, you know what you're looking for? It's not really the main issue. If you seek the kingdom of God, all of this will be provided abundantly and more. And then they come out because they recognize it's Jesus. And he said, I don't really need your fish, though I provided it. I've prepared a table for you. I've prepared the food. See, God asks you to come, not because you are going to do something. God asks you to come because he wants to give you what you really need. He's not like the teacher who will ask you a test. He's the one who will give you what you really, really need. He's the one who will cover you. He will cover your nakedness and wipe your tears and take away your shame and free you from that fear. This is come. Come. Jesus stood and said, you're tired. Life is hard. You're tired of yourself. Come to me. Do you have burdens? Do you have issues? Do you have things that you're fighting with? Okay, come to me. Come to me if you're heavy laden. Come to me if you're burdened. Come to me. And just stick with me. And you will be fine. Stick with me and you will be fine. But we are in exile. How are we going to come to you? Are you talking about going back to Jerusalem? Because there is nothing there. Like the temple, your abode, raised to the ground. Our houses, destroyed. Our fields, burned. How are we going to come to you? I mean, what will happen? Leave us here. Leave us here. Look, Jeremiah said, plant fields, build houses, get married. We're settled. Like, things are not the best, but okay. We're managing. We like that. Humans like that. We like to be in control. Look, what we know is better than what we don't know. Just let us stay here. Why would I come? Why would I leave this? You know, only someone who doesn't see what God has for you, does has for him, would say that. We have such a low view of who God is and what he has for us. Very limited. Because maybe of your experience, because of the people that you've seen, or even the experience in the church. And we think that's it. That's all what God has for us. Look, I've been a minister for blah, blah, blah years, and this is what it is. I've been a Christian for 20 years, and this is what it is. And we don't have any hope anymore, and we don't have any enthusiasm or faith to go beyond and to seek more and to make room for more and to believe that he has more for us. Like we're in exile. This servant that you're talking about, I'm sure that's a lovely poetic thing. It's a nice story, yeah? Like, that's not for real. No one would do that. Who would do that? Who is stupid enough to be righteous with no sin and to die for us on our behalf? Like, who would do that? We've never had someone like that. And surely, surely, our mistakes are catching up with us, and look where we are. And God is saying, come. My servant is real. And he will be punished on your behalf. And he will make life to you. And I'm making that covenant later on in chapter 55. He's talking, I'm giving you that covenant. By the way, the covenant of David, irrevocable. No matter how many times David messed up, God was still the same towards him. David messed up, yeah? Killed, committed adultery, married so many women, you know, counted the troops, was full of pride. And God, at all times, saved him and came to him and said, you need to repent. Come, come, come to me. This is the come that he's saying to you and I. It's not like, hey, look, you need to. You do need to. I mean, if there is a word come, you're in the wrong place, aren't you? You need to position yourself if you want to drink, okay? It cannot be that the water is here and you're elsewhere and you're expecting to drink. You need to come. But he's actually pleading with you to come because he's caring for you. Saying, look, where you are, you cannot drink. Come. Because I want to give you to drink. I want to give you water. Jesus met the Samaritan woman and told her, can I have some water? And she told him, you don't have what will get water. Or actually, you should have asked me to give you water. And my water is not like this one. That's a well. The water would stay here for a long time, mosquitoes and flies and stuff. And people would pass by and throw things in the well. Yeah? If you would ask me for water, my water is living water. It's fresh, running, alive, uncontaminated, and it gives life. Life. Come, because I have life for you. And he's saying, if you come, you will not only have water, which is needed, by the way, for every single cell in your body. Like cells of skin, you need water. Brain cells, liver, heart, anything. Any cell in your body, that thing is needed. And the construction of it and how it functions, you need water. You die without water. You stay, if you want to try it, by the way, that's on you. 4 days, just 4 days, wait 4 days without any water. And you'll start having internal organ damage. Don't try it, by the way. Yeah. But not just water. Come and have wine. Come and have joy. Come and have joy and satisfaction. Not just life. Come and have nourishment as well. Come and have wine and milk and water. And all with food is free. But you have to buy it. But you said it's free. You have to buy it. Last Sunday, John was sharing with us that in change, there is a cost. If you're going to change your place from there to the water, there is a cost. There is something that you're going to leave for something that you need for real. You buy things when you need them or when you think that they will make you better or happy. Yeah? You don't just buy for the sake of buying, yes? Well, there are some people like that. But anyway, retail therapy. Yeah? You buy because it does something. You need to buy what I have. You need to realize that you need it. Actually, in all honesty, this is what will make you come. You won't come unless you know you're thirsty. You won't come unless you know that the real satisfaction to your thirst is in me, is in what I have for you. You need to buy it. And he's feeling for you. Why are you spending money for no good? Why do you do like those, you know, adverts where we see a girl maybe in Africa or a little boy walking for, I don't know, 2-3 hours in one direction, going to a water source that is muddy and contaminated and has this big bucket to fill it. And it takes hours. Takes absolute hours just to fill that bucket with muddy water to go back. And with all the danger on the way, they might be molested, they might be kidnapped, I don't know. They come back, and then what you're drinking is contaminated water, and it kills you. And if it doesn't kill you, it makes you sick. And if it doesn't make you sick, here's the thing. It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't satisfy even your thirst. Why? Why do you pay money in that? You see, God knows that you have money, by the way. And you're spending it in the wrong place. And he's trying just to tell you, wrong place. And I don't need your money. I don't need your fish. Come. Come and have breakfast with me. So, what keeps us from drinking? It's a great idea that you're saying, oh, God has this for us to drink. Okay, I want to drink. But we don't know how to drink. I don't know how many times I've heard messages and I felt, yeah, I want that. I don't know what to do. And actually, that chapter tells us about a few things. And I want to suggest them to you. Number one, recognize that you're thirsty. Realize your thirst. A lot of the time we are in a defensive mode that we don't want to really confront our need. The reality of our thirst. How empty we feel. The best way, realize your need, realize your thirst. Number two, don't try and satisfy your thirst by other things. Don't try and satisfy your thirst by relationships. Relationships are good, nothing wrong with that. Don't try and satisfy your thirst by status. I want to achieve, I want to be, and or by things. Better house, better car. For some people, maybe not better car. Car, just a car, you know? Like as if I have a car, then I'll be fine, you know? Is there something wrong with the car? No. That's not what's going to give you life. Don't satisfy your thirst on your own and with your own hands. Don't make a costume of fig leaves. No matter how convincing it is to you, it doesn't do the job. It's still fig leaves. They dry up, they crunch and shrink, and you're still naked, by the way. And your sin is still there. There is no sacrifice. Don't rely on what you're relying on. Don't depend on the things in your life that you think they are making you alive and important and satisfied. If you have things in your life, if you're planning your future in a way that you think you will be safe, if you are in the driving seat of your own life, come. This is the wrong place. But I know how to drive. Yeah, that's not your place. I know how to lead my life. It's not your place. But I have a responsibility, I agree. But that's not the right setting for it. It's not your place. But I have needs. I have to pay bills. I have to raise my kids. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to work for it. Yes, but you need the kingdom first. And what you need to seek is the kingdom first. So in this passage, he's saying, come, recognize your thirst, and make your thirst only to me. Seek the Lord, because he is near. He is near. Incline your ear and hear his word and listen to his word. All of that stuff because he is speaking. And he's saying as well, dwell. You see, you have your wrong ideas about God. I have my wrong ideas about God. And you see him in a certain way. Maybe you see him from the exile you're in, the circumstances you're in, how stuck you are in certain things. Okay? And it doesn't work like that. You need to see him as who he is. And his thoughts are way different than your thoughts. And his ways are way different than what even you can imagine and expect. And he is near. So he's saying, recognize, leave what you're depending on, come to me, choose that I would be your only portion, and dwell. Dwell. You know people when you dwell with them. You get to hear them all the time, not to hear them as it was an event. It's not that you're going to a concert in the O2 once in your life. No, you dwell. You dwell. And this is how you drink. This is how you get to drink and to get to be satisfied. Leave what you're relying on. Leave what you're settling for. Leave your pain. Leave your disappointments. Leave your past experiences. Leave your unbelief and believe in what he has for you. Come, come. I want to end this with you. Jesus echoed that verse, and it's found in John chapter 7, verse 37. And it was during the Feast of Tabernacle. And the reason this makes sense in that setting, it's every day in those 7 days, they would go and have a golden pitcher like that. They would fill it from the pool of Siloam, and because it was living water, it was running water. And they would go to the altar, back to the temple, a good walk. And then in a jubilation of praise, they would pour a sacrifice on the altar. And at that moment, Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, if anyone is thirsty, not even to me. If you really realize that you're thirsty, come. Come and drink from me. Come and have my spirit that I paid the price so that you can have it. Come and have your life and your needs and anything else on top met for real and satisfied. Because I am the giver of life. And when you will drink from me, you will not thirst again. When you will drink from me, you will not be in need again. Maybe when you were young, it happened to me, like, you know, when you have that family banquet, Easter time, and you're waiting for the food, and then you go and just snatch. And the grown-ups would tell you, no! And you... Psalm 23 says that even before my enemies, even in the time of need, even in the things that are in me that fights my life and my walk with God, he sets up a banquet. Not one type, not two. If you know the Middle East, it's not one type of food. Like about 20, 30 types of food. It's a royal banquet. He sets a table before me, and my cup never runs dry. Not just is filled to the brim, it overflows. It overflows. Can I ask you, why do you do that, all that effort, and you pay money for no bread? Why are you depending on things? Why are you stuck in your fear or your disappointment? Jesus is saying, come. Let's stand up. Father, I pray that you would help every one of us to move from where we are. Whatever we're stuck in, whatever is challenging us, whatever even is carrying us, move to you. I pray, Lord, that we would be willing to leave Leave whatever we're relying on and just come and stick to you and drink from you. Lord, help us to come. Help us to come wholeheartedly with open hands, nothing held back. Help us to come. Thank you for what you have for us. Thank you for what you have. Thank you that there is no condemnation. Thank you that there is no condemnation. Thank you, Lord, for what you have for us. Help us to receive. Help us to trust. Help us to come and move from where we are to you.
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.